that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 8. And tonight, by God's grace, we're going to end our two little mini-series that we have within the doctrine of Christ, and that is the life of Christ and he that believeth. And we'll begin by going to the book of Romans and examining the effects of God's own Spirit in the believer. Then, when we read from Romans 8, we're going to simply just read five pages of quotes from Brother Branham concerning the life of Christ in you and how that life lives itself out in you no differently than it lived itself out in Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So if you would, Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now notice it says, there is therefore now. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be, in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we've read a whole mouthful here. And we've read it quite fast, Father, and I don't know if it really sunk into us what we're reading, but it's very apparent, Lord, that you have a lot to say in these verses. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd help us to go over this slowly and surely and look at it using other words so that we might have a better understanding of this great covenant that you have with your children. And so we just commit our thoughts and our mind. We just commit it unto thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to read this again a little bit slower, and I'm going to read it first from the Amplified Version and then from the version called the Message. And even though the Message version is quite 21st century, I guess it is, but it's very, very I don't know if that's my eyeball or if it's the glasses. I think it's my eyeball. Did some mowing today and okay. All right. So let me just read it again from the Amplified Version. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. So if you have condemnation, if you're feeling guilty about things, let's read it. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is no adjudging guilty of wrong. Brother Bram said you didn't do it in the first place. For those who are in Christ, those who live and walk, not after the dictates of this flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, In other words, if you're walking and following the Lord, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, there is no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I know that the law of our new being, for we are now new creations in Christ Jesus. And this law of life, which guides our spirit. In other words, this flesh, after the law of the nature of the flesh was born in corruption, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came forth, world speaking lies. But there's a new creation taking place. And if there's a new creation taking place, there's a new life within. And if there's a new life within, it's following a different law. I mean, it's the same law of life. But it's being led by the Spirit, not by following men or following yourself. You are a man, right? So, notice, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has freed me from this flesh, from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by this flesh. In other words, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh because he subdued the flesh and overcame the nature of the flesh by depriving it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit, and our lives are governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of this flesh, but our lives are controlled by the Holy Ghost. In other words, brother, sister, if you truly are born again and you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, wow, you're Superman. I mean, you're supra men. You're above ordinary men. You're actually born to be in the image of the God who created the universe. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move, not in ways of this flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. And our lives are governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but our lives are controlled by the Holy Ghost. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires. And they set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify their flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, they set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful wording? Remember in Ezekiel, he said he'd give you another spirit, a new heart, a new spirit, and then God's Spirit. Brother Brown said that new heart is new thoughts. And he said the new spirit is new desires that come from those new thoughts. And then when you have those new desires, you see, you only want to please him, then God gives you him. He gives you his spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the Holy Spirit is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit, and remember that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because the evidence of that you have the Holy Ghost is that you understand the Word of God. It's just as simple. Now, this flesh might war, and you know, we've been looking at John 14:12. That's not evidence of the Holy Ghost. That's just the fact that if you have the life of Christ in you, you're going to live like Christ. You're going to act like Christ. You're going to think like Christ. You're going to do the things that Christ would do. It has nothing to do with you know, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence is that you recognize, and let me just put it this way, that you come alive to the Word for the hour which you live, and that Word comes alive to you. Now, it's a little bit different than Brother Branham laid it out, but he said that you recognize the day and the hour which you live, and the Word for the hour. Now, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace in the soul. Life and peace in the soul. You see, you can have wars going around you physically, but there's a peace in the soul, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. So therefore, Enoch was not living in just like an ordinary man. Enoch was living after the Spirit in order to please God. You see? Because he had this testimony that he pleased God. And Brother Branham said, I can do anything I want to do, but all I want to do is please Him. And if all you want to do is please Him, then you won't be governed by the flesh. You'll be governed by what pleases your Father. So then, those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetite and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directing and controlling you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. But if Christ does live in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes to you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore life to your mortal, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. You see, you don't owe your flesh a thing. That's the problem. We say, I owe to myself. No, you don't. No, you don't. He says, we are not debtors, not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, in other words, daily crucifixion, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Because that's the evidence of a resurrected power in you. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now, for the Spirit which you have now received is not the spirit of slavery, to put you once more into bondage to fear. But you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in which you cry, Father, Father. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His sufferings if we are to share His glory. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of the present time, this present life that we're not, are not even worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred upon us. For even the whole creation, all nature itself, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waiting for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. That's a pretty good translation. Well, let's go to the Message translation. It's kind of a newer one. It's a little bit more verbose, but let me just read it. The law always ends up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but which we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. In other words, it's not about what you can do. It's about what He can do in you. Those who think that they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Now, if you could just walk away with one thing tonight, and that's that. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. That's something that's simple, to hear, simple to say, but it's very deep when you begin to think about it. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than they think of God. That person ignores who God is and what he's doing. And God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as assuredly as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's body. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing that you can do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life that you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through, and if we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. Wow. Well, now that we've read from the Scripture, and I think both the Amplified and the Message version actually did a pretty good job of getting the message across that if God is living in you, if God's life is living in you, you're new creatures. The only thing we have to do, the only works that we have to do is to kill ourselves every day. Not physically, no. Kill what's in here. And let what's in here have preeminence. From forsaking all, Brother Branham said, if the spirit of a gangster was in me, I'd have guns in me. If the spirit of a painter was in me, I could paint the picture of a painter. He could do. If the spirit of a mechanic was on me, I could tell you what was wrong with your car, see? And if the spirit of Jesus Christ is in me, I'll do the works of Christ because it's the life of Christ in you. See? Manifested in who? Manifested in who? He forsaken his sonship and become sin and took our sins that he might take sinners and make them sons. He became me that I might become him. He become a sinner that I might become a son of God. Oh, it's striking what he done, see? He taken your place that you might take his place. You're joint heirs with him in the kingdom. He becomes a sinner like you, your sins placed upon him, that he might take you and make you a fellow citizen of heaven and set you with him in God's kingdom. There you are, put his spirit in you, and if his spirit's in you, the works that he did, you will do also. Now, as for me, I could care less what those works are. Because I'm not panning away and asking God, oh God, you know, I want to raise the dead and I want to do this, I want to do that. I'm not interested. I just want to do whatever he wants me to do. You see, if your motive and your objective is to live, to die to self so that he can live the life through you, you're not going to be saying, oh God, let me do this. Oh God, let me do that. It doesn't matter. If he wants you to be the doormat in the house of God, then I'm going to be the happiest doormat. I'm going to have a smiley face on that doormat. So when you step on me or step all over me to get into the church, you have a welcoming smile, even though you're stepping on me, right? Because I want only to please him. Jesus almost literally ran to the cross, carrying that heavy wood on his back. Didn't want others to do it for him. That was his. That's what God wanted him to do. Father, in my flesh, I don't want to do it, but I ain't going to say I won't do it. But I'd rather not do it. If you find, if there's any other way within your perfect will to work this out, that'd be wonderful. But because I just want to stay with my friends here. That's what Brother Branham said. But nevertheless, for this purpose have I come into the world. So just help me get through it. Help me get through it. From the mark of the beast, Brother Branham said, now remember the Bible said, don't spare nothing. Little or young or old or all that hasn't got the seal of God would be marked otherwise. And look who was marked out of it. Lifelong men who gave their lives for the clergy. Priests and renowned men. Great priests and scholars. And yet they were marked out of it. In other words, with the mark of the beast. Now, how many knows that's true? Why, sure it is. Sure it's true. Just as scholar, just as holy, just as sweet. Perhaps fine people, citizens of the country. But that's no excuse. When God sends something and you fail to walk in it, then you're out, that's all. You either do or you don't. That's the way it is. It was. All that didn't get in the ark drowned, and that was all there was to it. No matter who they was. That's the same thing. All that's not in Christ today will perish without Christ. It's true. So you can't say, I'm a Methodist or a Baptist or Pentecostal or anything else. You've got to be of Christ. And if you're of Christ, you will do the works of Christ. That bears record and proves that it is. It's just as clear as a scripture. I know how to say it. That's just as plain as a nose on this big face, or big nose on this face of mine, rather. That's right. Now, Brother Ram didn't have a big nose. But I think he's just using a phraseology there. But anyway, just saying, look, the scripture is just as plain as a nose on your face. The works that I do shall you do also. From Sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, if we profess to have the Spirit of Christ, we should do the works of Christ. He said himself. From it is I, be not afraid. He said, if the Spirit of Christ was in us, we will do the works of Christ. From Sirs, we would see Jesus. Brother Ram said, that was Jesus yesterday. If he's the same today, he has to be the same. He will do the same. He will act the same. And if his church has got his Spirit, they will be like Christ. You know, I was listening to a message the other night as I woke up, and I heard Brother Branham say something really kind of, I thought it was very tremendous. He said, basically this, if you could have a church that was so yielded to the Holy Spirit, everyone in that church yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit, he said, well, that would, most of the unbelievers would just leave it, so you'd have very few people. But he said, but that would be the great, he said, that would be the way for God to build his church. So, that would be a dynamic church. Paul had 12 in Ephesus. 12. From Sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, that was Jesus yesterday. If he's the same today, he has to be the same. He will do the same. He will act the same. And if his church has got his Spirit, they'll be like Christ. If I told you that I had the spirit of some outlaw in me, like Dillinger, John Dillinger, you'd expect me to have big guns and be dangerous to be around if his spirit was in me. If I told you that I had the spirit of a famous artist, you'd expect me to be able to catch the waves or the sunset and so forth and paint like an artist if his spirit is in me. Oh, I hope this goes home, but if the Christian church has got the spirit of Christ, they'll do the works of Christ. Christ said so, if the spirit is in the church. What faith are you to contend for? We're just Christians by profession. We might be Christians by cold formal profession. We might be Christians by radical, enthusiastic, hysterical faith. But a real Christian, the Spirit of Christ produces the Bible again, for it's his Spirit. Hallelujah. If you are a Christian, the Spirit of Christ in you will produce the Bible again. It's just so simple. from God and His Word. He said, look, in other words, don't ever get the idea through this whole series on John 14:12 that I'm trying to get you to work up to where you can perform miracles. I'm not, that's the furthest from my mind. What I'm trying to get you to the place is where you can die to yourself, so that God can do whatever He wants to do. If it's miracles, it's miracles. If it's just doing other works of Christ, the obedient things that He did, go talk to this one, go lay hands on this one, go bypass 300 here and just lay your hands on this one here. You see that? That very specific obedience to God. If God can get you to that place, I believe your body will do whatever God has you to do. And you'll know it, and you'll do it. Now, from God and His Word, He said, He's sending us and going with us, performing the works of Christ as Christ performed the works of God, going with us through death, and raises us up at the last day, God's in His people. From ministry explained, He said, and if we had the Spirit of Christ, then we do the works of Christ, and the Spirit that was upon Him, He said, a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet you'll see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. And from Jehovah Jireh, He said, and the spirit that was in Christ is in you. And if the spirit of a villain was in me, I'd have guns. If the spirit of an artist was in me, I'd paint pictures. If the spirit of Christ is in me, the works of Christ you'll do. Amen. That's right. And from Return and Jubilee, He said, but in order to be a son of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Then you become Christ-like and do the works of Christ. Notice, Christ-like first, then do the works of Christ. Then you're not funny to them people. A human acting like a human is not funny. And a Christian acting like a Christian, born of the same Spirit. You see the Pentecostal group at the beginning, that same Pentecostal group acts the same way if it's born of the same Spirit, because it's born. That's why today that people doesn't understand the church. And the church has begun to grow cold and formal, getting after creeds and things and leaving off the following of the Holy Spirit. All right. Now that's a mouthful, because we could say that in this day. Getting after creeds and things, in other words, up here instead of what's living right here. You see? From letting off the pressure, He said, now the Son of God is here tonight. I believe that. I'm not no Son of God. I am adopted Son of God like you are. I'm a portion of His Spirit. And if His Spirit is in me, and if I tell you the Spirit of Christ is in me, then I should do the works of Christ. Live the kind of life that He lived. A sacrificed life for the people. That's right. So what kind of life was it? A sacrificed life for the people. From letting off the pressure, He said, Jesus said in John 14, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And the first branch that come forth out of the vine, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. That's right. And today we have denominational living in the name of Christianity, but only bearing denominational fruit. That's right. But if the vine ever puts forth another branch, you'll write a book of Acts behind it, because it'll bear the original life. If the Spirit of Christ is in the church, well, it'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said so. Then we can let off the steam, let off the pressure. You don't have to run from church to church. Just come to Christ. And from End Time Evangelism, if I tell you I am a Christian and the Spirit of Christ is in me or in you, then we do the works of Christ. Jesus said so in St. John. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Then He said here, these signs shall follow them that believe. From Have Faith in God, He said, if I say the Spirit of Christ is in me, then it produces the works of Christ. He promised it. Well, who's producing the works? Not you. It's Him that's living in you. That's what Paul said. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. But it's not me that's living, but Christ is living in me. You see, He's the one doing it. Paul caught that revelation. And Paul was the first to have those miracles following his ministry. From will the church go before the tribulation? He said, if it's a Christian vine, it'll bear Christ. The life of Christ, the works of Christ, see? Then our spirit has to be energized by something. I'm so glad to be in Him tonight. From hear ye Him, He said, if I tell you the Spirit of Christ is in me, you'd expect me to do the works of Christ. That's right. That's what the church churches look to, not to have creeds, but to have the Spirit of Christ. And from what shall I do with Jesus, He said, as I said, if the life of Beethoven was in you, you'd live like Beethoven. If the life of Hitler was in you, you'd live like Hitler. And when the life of Christ is in you, you'll act like, you'll live like Christ, and the works of Christ you will do. And that'll be, if Christ lived today, he'd do exactly what the Word said that he would do. And if the Word said that, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why can't this blind ecclesiastical world see the time that they're living in? See? And from the way back, he said, if I tell you the Spirit of Christ is in me, then do the works of Christ. It's what he said. From the 10 virgins, he said, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, that's right, and their works was the works of Christ. They laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. They done all kinds of signs and miracles and wonders, and in their forehead was sealed by the revelation that he was the Son of God, and they were working with him the deity of Christ, and there's the mark. From blind Bartimaeus, he said, the Spirit of Christ is in the church. It'll do the works of Christ. It's got to. It's the same Spirit. From look away to Jesus, he said, and if Christ lives in me, the works of Christ you will do. It's got to be. And what is Christ? He's the Word. He said, if you abide in me and my Word in you, then ask what you will and it'll be done. Because the Word there just needs the light, and the light makes it live. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Brown said, if a Christian church is the vine or the branch that's in Christ, they'll do the works of Christ and bear the life of Christ. By their fruits you shall know them. Now then, the way that he is today, he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, working through his church, performing the same things that he did there. That makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. His life, the life that was in Christ, which was God, produced the kind of life that he lived then. That same life comes into his church members, since they have been purged by his blood and given the Holy Spirit access to work through them, bears the same fruit that he bore. So therefore, the world can see then that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he says, look, you're giving access to the Holy Ghost to work through you. That's a pretty good deal. From door to the heart, he said, if it's a sinful vine you're hooked into, it'll bear sin. If it's a church vine, it'll bear churchianity. If it's Christ, it'll bear the works of Christ. It's got to. I am the vine and you are the branches. And now he only has hands, mine and yours. Eyes, mine and yours. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And from hear ye him, he said, Jesus beats it out, he beats it with the Holy Ghost until he sees his own reflection in it. Then you can see the works of Christ being performed in the church. Then she's ready for the rapture, pure gold. Do you believe that, all of you? And from what is the Holy Ghost? He said they knew the church was to receive power that would work in the church the same works of Christ. Because as a shadow becomes deeper and deeper and reflects more and more. And from adoption or placing, he said the church has got to be so perfectly like Christ until Christ and the church can unite together the same Spirit. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ, act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Jesus said that, see? Now, I don't see in any of these, and we've had 22 sermons on He That Believeth. I had 55 pages of quotes going into this series. 55 pages of quotes. I had over 1,000 and some quotes, but 50. I whittled it down. I whittled it down to 55 pages, just so that I didn't have a lot of repetition. We spent, I don't know how many, 22 sermons is not quite 22 weeks. Let's say 11, 12 weeks. 12 weeks on just this thought on He That Believeth and then the life of Christ. Showing you all these quotes. Each time I've had just pages and pages and pages of quotes. Showing you that not one time did Brother Branham claim that for himself. It's for you. From the Queen of Sheba, he said, if the life of Christ is in you, it will produce his life in you. The works that I do shall you do also. The same works, because it's the same life. If the life in a watermelon vine produces a watermelon, well, the next branch that comes out, it'll produce another watermelon. Every time it'll be watermelon. And if the church is really anchored in Christ, every church will write a book of Acts behind it. That's exactly right, because the first one wrote a book of Acts behind it. So there we are. Where's our book of Acts? I'll tell you, because we are not focused. We're not. It's not Christ living his life in you and I. It's you living it up. And if you would learn just to die to self and allow God to do whatever He wishes, God will make the opportunity to manifest Himself to this world. From it wasn't so from the beginning, he said, and if the life of Christ is in you, it'll do the same thing. That was God's example. Church was Pentecost. And if we claim to begin from there, then what's happened? What along the road has taken place? And from we would see Jesus is that everything's known in itself. Then the Spirit of God in His church will reproduce the life of Christ if He is the vine and we are the branches, certainly, you see. Now, why all this stress? Why can't we just kind of say it once and just be done with it? Because Brother Branham said when the squeeze comes down, he said the third pole has already been manifested. It's already been laid out what it is. And he said, but we're going to use it. You and I are going to use it. That's what he said. You will use it. The bride will use it. Well, if the third pole, if something that's done based on faith, and we're all just living here in this intellectual realm, we've got this passive faith, but there's no active faith. Where are we at? I'm just trying to get us to refocus. Just refocus. Get ready for it. So that when it does come, he said the bride has the word. And she knows what to do with it. Okay, it wasn't so from the beginning. And if the life of Christ is in you, it'll do the same thing. That was God's example. Church was Pentecost. If we claim to begin there, then what's happened? What's taken? What along the road has taken place? From we would see Jesus, everything's known in itself. Then the Spirit of God in His church will reproduce the life of Christ. If He is the vine, we are the branches, certainly, you see. And from be certain of God, He said, if I had the Spirit of Christ, I'd do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. And if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe, and we perverted it by works of man, doctrines of man. The Bible said in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. You say, them's communists. No, them's Christians, so-called, and church members, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, saying, oh God, God did that in another age, not in this age. But the Bible said, from such turn away, we're living in that day. And in closing, Brother Bram said, from perseverance. Now, if I told you that the life of John Dillinger was in me, you'd expect me to have big guns out there to shoot you. If I told you that the life of an artist was in me, you'd expect me to paint the picture of an artist. Listen, church, I'm not scolding you, see? But look, if the life of Christ is in the church, it'll do. If the Holy Spirit is in the church, if this pillar of fire that science has taken the picture of and so forth, that we see here in the church all the time, if that is the Spirit of Christ, it will do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. They are the ones that testify of me. If the Holy Ghost is still real, then the Holy Ghost will testify for Himself. Believe the works of the Holy Spirit. And from we would see Jesus. Then if the Spirit of Christ is in the church, it should be doing the works of Christ. Because God set that body aside, the Lord Jesus, His Son. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this study on He That Believeth. Knowing that 19 different statements were made, but all said, He that believeth on me. And then He said, He that believeth on me shall never perish. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. He that believeth on me shall never die. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, etc. And so, Father, we found 19 different scriptures, 16 promises or so, pointing that the fact that the very life, as Brother Branham 414 times, when he quoted John 14:12, he didn't say the works. He said, the things that I do shall he do also. I don't know how many times we've come across where Brother Brown said, if the life of Christ is in you, You will live like Christ, act like Christ, speak like Christ, do the works of Christ. And so, Father, we're thankful that you've given us opportunity, O God, to focus our thoughts, because now I believe, Father, there's things happening in your children. I see some are beginning to come to that recognition of your leadership, your guiding presence. And for this, we're thankful, Father, because it's taking us away from the mental and putting it into our hearts and our lives. So, Lord, we just commit your children, your seed, your sons, your daughters, your bride, your elect. We commit all of them into thy hands, O God. And we pray, Father, that whatever it takes to be more like you, Lord, that's what we're willing to do. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do we have that song on here? Whatever it takes to be more like you? It's in the book. Do you know which one that is?